If you'd like to be turning in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having been predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who were first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory.
Good evening, everyone. Well, it's been a wonderful week for us. We were talking a while back, and we said our Australian adventure will come to close on Tuesday. We'll be going back to the Philippines. But, well, thank you really for your goodness towards us. And we enjoy this church. And we know that a wonderful fellowship is happening here. Wonderful singing. And I praise God for this church. And I praise God for you. And we thank you really for the privilege also to be able to bring God's word here. And last Friday, I was able to be with the young people as well. It was fun. And we also praise God for those opportunities that God has laid for us. And I hope this would not be the last. So, yes, thank you. All right, let's continue our study last week. I'm just going to be reading here, and just follow me with your eyes. I'm reading in a King James Version of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 down to 14. It says here, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, and ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, and to the praise of His glory. Let's pray. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we praise You and we thank You for this wonderful time and a great privilege to open Your Word and feast upon Your Word. Just allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and to teach us, dear Lord, of the things that we'll be hearing today. Let us not be hearers only, dear Lord, but doers of Your Word, and really see the beauty of being a believer, the beauty of being Your son and daughter, the beauty of being a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, grant us wisdom and understanding this evening, and even use Your servant as Your mouthpiece today. And may Your name be praised in our midst. In Christ's name, amen. This is our title, Blessings Upon Blessing. And I've shown you a video last Sunday. I would like to apologize for the video for those who are here. I did not realize there were kids in the service, but no more videos today. I was supposed to show you, but I've learned my lesson. Blessings upon blessing, realizing that we're believers and there is much more to be a believer. Would you not believe that? There's so much blessing that as a Christian, we don't realize it until we're put in a situation and we're able to see that there's it. While we were singing the hymn, Count Your Blessing, that's really a wonderful, wonderful thing that we can sing. Because if you remember, yes, we do have prayer meetings. And every prayer meetings in the Philippines, we do have testimony time. And if you ask a person, what are you thankful for? Or what is your testimony for this week? And people would say, nothing really happened. Nothing much. I have nothing to say. But if they try to count really their blessings, there are a lot more to thank the Lord for. And as a believer, we are just led here in Ephesians to just know the foundation of what we should thank the Lord for. As we said, verse 3 would tell us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And there are a lot of spiritual blessings that God has given us. And again, I'm going to be giving you 7. The 3 is done. We're going to continue on that. Let me just review the first blessing that we said, that we are chosen by God, as Apostle Paul is saying in verse 4. We have been chosen before the foundation of the earth. Isn't that good that we were not forced to, but we were chosen? The second blessing that we could see there is that we are predestined, or we are predestined to be adopted by God. We are adapted to His family. No matter who we are, it is not because of our merit that God has adopted us, because God has already predestined it that He will adopt us and we become heirs along with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we now belong to the family of God. And He did it because of His love and according to His pleasure and will. And the last blessing that we have learned last Sunday is that not only we are adopted, but also we are given grace by God. And that grace abounds, and that grace brought us here. And we can all say this, that without grace, we won't be here, right? And if we look back in our lives, we can really say it's all about God's grace. And so we continue on. Verse 7, that's number 4 in your Bibles, please. According to verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. The fourth blessing that we're going to be learning is this. You and I, we are redeemed. Isn't that not a blessing? Being redeemed for what? Being redeemed from our sinfulness. You know, the ancient word, redeemed, is there. It means to pay back or to pay the necessary ransom, to set free a prisoner of war, a captive or a debtor, or who was sold into slavery. It means buying back the person's freedom. And Jesus provided a sinner's full redemption. That's why when we remember the word tetelestai, meaning it is already paid in full. We've already been paid in full. We lack nothing. That's the only payment that we need for us to be redeemed by God. I remember this illustration made by Pastor Mike Reddick about a young boy who loves sailboats. He goes to a port where he sees sailboats, and one day he said, "I'm gonna make a sailboat." So he made himself a sailboat. He put in there because he was fond of sailboats. And suddenly waves came and also the wind, and it blew his sailboat away. And for many months, he wasn't able to see his sailboat. But after a few months, one day he was walking through a store and he saw that sailboat. And he really knew deep inside, that is my sailboat. So he went inside the store. And he wanted to get that sailboat. Of course, what would the owner would say? You need to buy it. You need to purchase it. It's mine. It's not yours. So what did the boy do? Because he loved his sailboat, he paid some money to the owner and bought the sailboat. And once he got it, he said, "You are mine twice. You were mine before, but because something happened, you were away from me, and now I am redeeming you back. That's why you are now mine twice." And listen, that's you and me. We were created for God's purpose, but sin destroyed it. And we were separated from God, but because of God's love through the Lord Jesus Christ, God redeemed us. And we are now God's the second time around. Aren't you glad that you are redeemed? And it's so amazing that it is one of the blessings of being a believer. Believers are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Christ. And of course, the rightful consequence supposedly for us is death. But who can forget Romans 6:23. The verse says, "For the wages of sin is death," but it did not stop there, "but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, it is also the price that God has paid to rescue us, and the price is the Lord Jesus' blood. Turn with me, if you can, open your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 18 to 19. I just want to read that because it's a wonderful reminder for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19. I'll just read here and just follow me with your eyes. It says there, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold, and from your vain conversion received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without a spot." We were redeemed by a price, and that price is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God loved us so much that He was more than willing to give His only begotten Son. Thus, the Apostle Paul can confidently praise Jesus by saying that in Him we have redemption. That it is true. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have redemption. And includes us that we are being released from the guilt of sin. We are no longer guilty of being a sinner because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the punishment that we so deserve was already erased. Because God, Jesus Christ, paid it on the cross of Calvary. That is why we always go back to the cross. And and just be amazed of what God did to each one of us. You know, Christ became human like us so that He could set us free from the slavery of sin. Let me ask you this. If you are a slave and you are working for a tyrant person with nothing, no rights at all, no nothing, no regard for your health, no regard for your feeling, nothing. In general, and then all of a sudden, somebody who's a stranger came to your master and paid something in behalf of you, and after buying you, he said, "You're now free." How would you respond? After you haven't any right for yourself, after having a master who does not care about your health, your life, or whatever you have, and all of a sudden a stranger tells you, "I'm buying you," and after he bought you, and he's saying, "You're free now," how will you respond? You know, that's what Jesus did to you and me. And how we respond right now is the way we respond to that person who bought us. That's why the question is, how are we responding to that salvation that Christ has given us? Are we becoming that person that Jesus would want? Or are we saying, "Oh, I'm free. I'm free now. I'm free to do whatever that I want." Or are we responding with great gratitude and saying, "Yes, I want to follow you and I want to obey you"? Because that's what Jesus would want us to do. It's if you look at your Bibles again in verse 7, you know, one wonderful thing that Paul wrote here is this. In King James, he said, "In whom we have redemption." That word "we have" is in the present tense. It indicates a present and continuous reality that you and I are already possessed. It means that our redemption is a present reality. It's not just a past experience. It is a present reality. And that's why we could read in scripture that we are saved, being saved, and will be saved, because that is the three tenses of our salvation. From us being justified, and now we are being sanctified, and the last tense of our salvation is glory. We are glorified in Him that will be in heaven. And what a wonderful thing that we are saved. And the promise is this: nobody can pluck us out from the hand of God. And that is a sure promise. That is a sure promise. Can you just turn to your seatmate right now, I'm used to this, and tell him or her, "You are secured in the Lord." Can you tell that person right now? You are secured. Why? Because that's the promise of God, that we are now in God's hands and nobody can pluck us out from His hands. What a wonderful blessing that is. The fifth blessing. Not only we have been redeemed, but the fifth blessing is this. In verse 8 and 9, we have been told the secret of His will. If somebody goes to you and tells you, "Let me tell you a secret," how would you respond? "Oh, like that. That's a secret," right? It's a secret. It means that it's only me that will know, because it's a secret. Because if everybody would know, it's no longer a secret. Since everybody knows it, right? But you know what? Look at verse 8 and 9. It says, "Wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having been made known to the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." You know, God spared no expense in providing for His children. And in some versions, it says the word "abound." I like the other version which says, "His grace was lavish toward them." The word "lavish," it means poured out overflowingly upon us. And that is one of the blessings of being a Christian, that His grace has been poured upon us, that we are able to know the secrets of His will. And you know what grace is? It says there in Romans 5:20, and I know most of you knows that verse, that where sin abounds, grace exceedingly abounds or multiply. Accompanying this generous gift was even more. And what is that? Two things. Wisdom and prudence, according to King James, or wisdom or insight. Just a little bit of definition. Wisdom there is the ability to see life from God's perspective. Now we understand why the Bible says in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because wisdom is looking at God's perspective, not our own perspective. God's perspective. Sometimes we think that this way is good, or this might be good, or being a Christian, we have been led to this, and we don't see it how God sees it. But you know, the Bible teaches us that the more we know God, the more we fear God, the more we commune with God, then that would be the start of us gaining wisdom, meaning gaining a perspective of how God would want it. In our generation before, I'm a millennial. I was born in 1980s plus. That's a millennial. Right now it's a Z thing, right? We're almost at the end. So, anyways, during our time, we had this baller ID that says WWJD. I don't know if you can remember still that. And the young people would not know that anymore. But WWJD stands for What Would Jesus Do? In a situation like this, and you're made to do a decision, you would just look at your baller ID and you would ask, what would Jesus do? And definitely, if we are a believer, one of the great blessing that God has given us is wisdom. It's looking at things according to God's perspective and not our own perspective. And that's a wonderful thing of being a Christian. On the other hand, not only wisdom, but also understanding. The word understanding could also be translated insight, referring to the ability to discern the right action to take in any given situation. So if we put together wisdom and understanding or insight, it means wisdom and understanding are given to believers for them to know God's will. That's why at church we always say this, young people, please always choose a believer. Why? Because God's will say, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for without light, communion with darkness, they cannot mix. And we can never say, oh, pastor, because I do that, back in the Philippines, we always tell the young people, it's not love if you see it like that. You know, we can never mix. According to the Bible, God and Belial cannot go together. Come on. You cannot stand on the light and the other foot is on the darkness. We cannot do that. That's according to God's will. That we can never mix sin. There's no gray. There's just black and white. If you're standing on the black side, you stand on the black side. If you're standing on the white side, you stand on the white side. There's no middle. It's always on the straight side. So, wisdom and understanding, again, is given to believers for them to know God's will. And that's always a million-dollar question to Christians. So what's God's will for this thing? So what's God's will? Especially finding a person that you will be with for the rest of your life, or looking for a job, or looking for this. Well, I know God's will is, because a lot of young people would come to pastors and say, pastor, can you pray for me? I'm looking for a job. Can you pray for this and that? I always tell them this. If you're praying for God's will is always this. He wants you to get closer to Him. So if you find something that takes you away from God, I do believe that is not God's will. Because God would always want you to be closer to Him, not away from Him. So if that thing is drawing you away from God, better think of it. Because for sure, according to the Bible, that is not God's will, because He wants us to abide in Him. And He says in God's Word, without me you can do nothing. So if that thing is pulling you away from God, then it's time for you to flee. This is just a wonderful connection. I'm so blessed just hearing the morning sermon and just preaching this as well, because it connects. It connects. This is true. Once you understand that you are a believer, and one of the things that God has given you, a blessing of being a believer, is knowing or having wisdom and understanding, then it would not be too hard for us to do the right thing. Sometimes that is just a struggle, doing the right thing. But if you are a believer, it is simple. Why is it simple? If we just follow it according to God's Word, it is greater than we think. It is the best thing, even though sometimes we think we have a better way, but God has a better way always. And that is always God's will. It also mentions mystery there. I don't think I put it there. The word mystery, it means, the Bible does not mean something that is complicated or obscure or different to understand. It always means something that was kept secret until God chose to reveal it. That is why we always say that everything in here, or everything that we need to know, is already here. The Bible also says that God has already given us everything that we need as we live godly, and what we do in life. So everything is here. And I like the encouragement a while back that we need to go back to the Word. There is nothing that we can do apart from this, because this is already complete. And if we still have questions deep inside us of how things work, Deuteronomy, is it 29:29? I forgot the verse. Secret things belong to God. Go to that verse, and until you go to heaven and ask God. All right? That's why if things are not clear in the Bible, as we said, everything has been given to us, go to the Lord. Because sometimes secret things just belong to Him. And we don't waste our time for that. Why? Because we focus on one thing. What is that? For the glory of God, and to point people to God. That's God's will. And that is what God would want us to do. The sixth. We're almost done. The sixth blessing of being a believer. Not only that we are told the secrets of His will, but in verse 11, if you could turn your Bibles there, it says, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who work all things after the counsel of His will. The word chosen, by the way, the sixth is this: we are made a heritage of God. I like how it was explained this morning when Apostle Paul told Timothy, you, godly man, or man of God, the word of God, it means you are possessed by God, you are owned by God. And that is actually a blessing of being a Christian. We are God's inheritance. We are owned by God. And nobody owns us apart from God. The word chosen, it means appointed by lot. In the Old Testament, it has a special reference by dividing the land of or for inheritance. We could read that in Numbers 26, 55 to 56. But the point is that we ourselves are not appointed and designated as the inheritance of God. This understanding, again, we could read that in Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. Can you turn to Deuteronomy, please, for a while, if you could open your Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. Okay, if you're there, and if you could follow, just follow me with your eyes. Verse 9 of chapter 32 of Deuteronomy says, for the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. You know, in Christ, we are admitted to the ranks of the special or the chosen people, the special possession of God. You and I are special possessions of God. Can you just again turn to your seatmate and tell your seatmate, you are a special possession of God. Can you tell that seatmate right now? Oh, wonderful. You're possessed by somebody who's great. Somebody who owns everything. Somebody who's powerful. Somebody who knows everything because He is God. And what a wonderful blessing that would be that we belong to God. It's a wonderful thing that if in our name, like if you're a doctor or something, at the end of your name, it says their PhD, or if you have the doctorate degree or something like that. But when Timothy, when Paul said, you, O man of God, would you think it would be nice that you, David, man of God, you're of God? Or you, Paul, a man of God? What a wonderful thing that would be put in our name, that we are owned by somebody that loves us so much, that promises us that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that promises us that no good thing will hold from us if we would walk uprightly, that promises us that everything will be given to us if only we ask, we seek, and we knock, that promises us that He will be there in our deepest times of our life, that promises that He cares for us, that promises that He sees to it, that whatever we go through, there's always a way out. If there's no way out, He will do whatever in His power to take us away from that situation. What a wonderful person that would be that owns us or that possesses us if He is like that. And you know what? That is already God and He owns us. In the same way that God predestined Israel to be the elected nation, He also predestined us, the spiritual Israel. You and I were the spiritual Israel, the believers of Christ, to be an eternal gift to Himself. You and I are the eternal gift to God. And what a wonderful blessing that would be. The seventh, and I will end with this. The final blessing that we could see. I know this is just chapter one. We could go through the book of Ephesians and there are more blessings that we could see. But the last blessing in here that I will give to you, the seventh, is this in verses 13 to 14. Read your Bibles, please. It says there, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, on whom also after ye have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. The seventh blessing is this, that we have been sealed by the Spirit. We have been sealed by the Spirit. To those who heard and believe, this was not merely a mental acceptance or a theological proposition, but it was putting our trust and commitment into Christ. And in response to that decision, God marked us with His official seal that we belong to Him. That is the mark of God to each of our lives. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The seal is the presence of the Holy Spirit, proving that we belong to God. To seal, we all know this. It's like branding. It tells us the owner of that thing, right? But to be sealed by the Holy Spirit, it means more than that. I like how King James put it this way, verse 14. If you look at your Bibles, it means which is the earnest of our inheritance, or other versions would tell us the guarantee. if you promise a person that you're gonna buy something or gonna pay something, that's just a promise. That is just a something that you wanted to do. But if you say it's a guarantee or you give an earnest payment, it means that it's more than the promise. It is already a foretaste of what it will be in the future. So that means the Holy Spirit that we receive is more than just a guarantee. It is a foretaste of what we will have in the future, having been led by the Spirit. And what does it mean to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? Three things. Here's the three things. Number one, the Spirit marks the beginning of the Christian experience. When we are being sealed by the Spirit, it marks the beginning of our Christian walk. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 9, let me just turn to that, and if you could follow with me, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 9, a wonderful verse again to remind ourselves. If you could, it's just near from Ephesians, and let's read it together. I know we have different verses, but let's read it together, please. Romans, chapter 8, verse 9, all together. Ready? Begin. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What it means is that we cannot belong to Christ without the Holy Spirit. So we can never say that I'm a believer if the Holy Spirit is not in me. Because again, the Holy Spirit, the marking of the Holy Spirit is the beginning of the Christian experience. And we cannot be united in Christ without the Spirit. Also, we cannot be adopted as children of God if we don't have the Spirit. And we cannot be in the body of Christ except by the baptism of the Spirit. I know some denomination, if we call it, believe the baptism of the Spirit happens sometimes when they could speak in tongues and other these things. But in the Bible, it's clear. The baptism of the Spirit starts when we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior and Lord. And that's the time that the baptism of the Spirit, and the Spirit comes to us, and it is the start of our journey with God. That's how we walk now in the Spirit, because we believe and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the start of our Christian experience. And that's how the seal of the Spirit is. Second, not only the Spirit marks the beginning of a Christian experience, but second, the Spirit is the power of our new life. Because the Spirit is in us, we are able to do things for the Lord. The Spirit lives in us, and the Spirit changes us from within, helping us to produce spiritual fruits. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. That's just beside Ephesians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 5, reading verses 22 and 23. It says there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that means these are the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. And as we become a believer, because we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, these things now are produced in us because there is the Holy Spirit. That is why I don't believe a person when a person says, you know, Pastor, I'm the same, my character is the same, because I've been like this even before I was saved. And my first response would be this: oh, is that so? So 1 Corinthians 5:17 is not right, maybe, because it says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things has passed away. Behold, all things become new. I know it's not easy to let go of the things that we are used to before we became Christians, but the Bible is clear that if we are now in the Lord, it is the Spirit who helps us produce this spiritual fruit. And one of them is love, joy, peace, and all those things. And the Spirit enables us to have those kinds of fruits. And the Spirit helps us to become more like Christ. Isn't that our prayer always? Lord, help me to be more like you. And it is the Spirit who helps us to be more like Christ. Let me just lead you to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. I'll just read here. Just follow me with your eyes. It says here, chapter 3 of Ephesians, chapter 3, 16 to 19. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, and it is the breadth and the length, the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then again, it is the Spirit that gives us the power to live the new life. And lastly, not only that the Spirit is the beginning of our Christian experience, that the Spirit is the power of a new life, but lastly, it is the Spirit that unites the Christian community. We all know this, that the Spirit is building us into a holy dwelling. And the Spirit can be experienced by all and works through all. That's why we belong to one family and we have different roles. And the Spirit enables us to do those roles. That is why I don't believe that in church, if somebody says, okay, what's your role in the church? Well, my role, pastor, is a secret agent of the church. That's why you cannot see me on Sunday, because I'm a secret agent. That's his role. What a wonderful role, right? Of course, you would not divulge yourself because you're secret. Each one of us has a role. And as the Bible says, as 2 Corinthians 12 would say, that everybody has a role for the body, to strengthen the body so that we can grow together in the Lord. You know, the transformation that the Holy Spirit makes in a believer's life undeniably marks God's presence in and ownership of that life. The transformation, it is really the mark, and of course, undeniably shows that we are owned by somebody who's greater, and that is God. Lastly, let me show you this picture. What is this? It's a ring. Yes, it is a engagement ring. We say this as a guarantee, right? Before you get married, you give an engagement ring. Yeah, no, most married couples clearly remember when and where and how they agreed to be married. Do you still remember it? Well, I do. Before we got married, I took the liberty going to Jazz home, and it was breakfast, and the whole family was there. And before I asked her to marry me, I asked the parents first, is it okay that we get married? So once I got that blessing, it was already a good thing for me. So we were eating, and I told them, let's eat dessert after breakfast. Dessert and breakfast, right? That's unusual. I know. So because I got the ring inside the chocolate, a kiss chocolate, and I gave each one a kiss chocolate, so that when we open it, yeah, we all eat that. So, yes, okay, to make the long story short, when Jaop, good thing he did not eat it right away. He might eat the engagement ring. So I remember that clearly, because I said, now after I've asked permission from Papa and Mama, I'm now asking you, will you marry me? I know it was a pressure on her side, because the family was there, not on me. So she cannot say no to me now because the parents said yes already, right? Right? So, yeah, clearly that was just the goal. Anyways, My point is this. The Holy Spirit that was given to us is a guarantee, a foretaste of what will happen in the future. The glory that we will experience in the Lord as the Spirit works in us, as the Spirit lives in us, as the Spirit produces in us these godly blessings that we should be able to live a godly life. As we close this afternoon, you know, being a child of God is a great blessing. Though we don't deserve anything, but God's grace allowed us to be part of His family through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why my challenge to all of us is this. Let us live up to that family that we belong to by doing the will of the Father and by obeying His command. It is just but a shame to claim that we belong to this family, but we do things that displeases our Father. And as people of God, and as people around us will see us, they will see that we really belong to the family of God because we reflect the character of God's family. This week, as you walk and talk to different people, may we reflect the character of the family that we belong to. We belong to the family of God. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for all the blessings that you have given us, for all the goodness that you have bestowed upon us, most especially for your grace that abounds. We praise you, dear Lord, for you are great, for you are the one and only God. And forgive us, Father, for the failures that we have done in your sight, of not representing the family that we belong to, of doing things that displeases you. But help us daily, dear Lord, as we commune with you through your word and through prayer, that we will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, that every day we will be refreshed by your word, and we will be empowered by your Spirit, that we would be able to do things according to your will and according to your plan. So, Father, may you bless continually this church, and may this church continually praise you as we would live each day. And we thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.